Now, fingers crossed, I should have Steve Harley on the phone. Good afternoon, Steve.
Yeah, I am here. Hi, Tony.
You are there. Good to speak to you. How you been? You had a busy day today?
It's barely started. We're on the road all the time, and this is soundcheck time, so I wouldn't say busy, just it's touring is, you know, a life of its own, isn't it?
It certainly is. No chill time, then?
No. I mean, every afternoon, Barry, the fiddle player, and I usually go sort of walking around. It's a funny old life on the road, you know? You sleep late, and then you breakfast at midday, and eat dinner at midnight, so...
Yes.
Yeah, if I can get it, yeah.
Can imagine. Now, I understand you're a South London boy originally, from Deptford, was it?
Yeah.
My goodness. I mean, I was born in Lewisham, so...
Oh, go on. It was my haunt, and...
Wow.
That's where I used to go to buy records, was Lewisham High Street.
Yeah, do you remember the market where they did all the reggae and ska?
Yeah, indeed. Yeah,
wow.
I loved it. Yeah. Yeah, I left it when I was 18, in the late 60s. I went out to Essex to be a junior trainer as a reporter, but it's still my spiritual home, New Cross. We're still Millwall men, you know.
Now, the band, the Steve Harley Acoustic Trio, that's just been on a 31-date tour over the UK.
Actually, I've just been told it's 33.
Really?
I've been calling it 31, but it's 33 dates, yeah. By the time we get to the Isle of Wight at the end of the tour, it will be 33.
Wow. So you've squeezed in another couple, obviously.
Yeah.
And you're down here at the Isle of Wight at the Shanklin Theatre, 27th of April.
Great. Looking forward to it, yeah.
Yeah, and a nice break after that, I take it.
Yeah, a few weeks, then we're out doing festivals, May and June, July, August, September, and Norway. We're going to be busy through the summer. But I'm coming down to the Isle of Wight and bringing my wife, Mrs. Harley's coming with me, which is unusual. You know, you don't take your wife to the office. So she's not on tour, but she's coming with me to the island, and we're going to stay for 4 nights.
Wow. Got to be done, isn't it? Got to be done.
Yeah. I want to unwind at the end of a very long tour, and I want to show Dorothy the island. She's never been. I want to show her the sights and Osborne House and things, you know?
Yeah. Well, you're no stranger, Steve, to the Isle of Wight, are you? Having played that major festival. You played it twice, didn't you, the Isle of Wight Festival?
Yeah. Interestingly, it was a regular holiday destination for my mum and dad and my siblings. There were five of us in the children, and... we spent many a holiday in one of those long caravans in the 60s, those long, that static caravan, that, you know.
Yeah.
Seven beds in them, or seven, there were seven of us sleeping in one. And then in 69, I was there for Dylan and the festival, and in 70, I was there again, and I was one of the guilty party that spent 4 days, 3 days up on what we called Desolation Row.
Wow.
Yeah, up on the hill, looking in.
So he was in your day, you was a naughty boy, basically.
Yeah, I still owe Ricky Farf £2.50, I think.
Yeah. Oh, dear, let's hope he's not listening. He'll be on the phone for it.
I'll pay it.
Gladly. We've still got the original WEM PA and mixing desks stored away on the island.
Go on.
From the 69-70 festival.
Yeah, we were talking in my tour bus only a week or so ago, and the other musicians, I'm the only one that was at the two festivals, and it was unbelievable. You know, I was saying, you know, it was just a little WEM PA, and we heard it. I don't know what we heard, but we did.
And looking at the pictures of it, Steve, you've got two mixing desks with rotary faders, about the size of probably the mixing desk I'm on now in the studio, and the, like you say, the PA system. How on earth did it reach those massive crowds?
I've no idea. Yeah, there were about 200,000 for Dylan.
Yeah.
And the following year, I mean, that was a good festival. We saw Leonard Cohen and Joni Mitchell, The Who. Was Frank Zappa on that one?
I don't know. Was that the Hendrix one as well?
Well, yeah, that was Hendrix.
Yeah.
But he came on at about 3 a.m, having been asleep in his backstage caravan, and he played a pretty laid-back kind of bluesy set. It wasn't great, to be honest.
Wow. Incredible.
But we were there. We were there, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
That's something I wasn't. They fired this WEM PA up in a field around Tapnall Farm somewhere on the island a few months ago for the first time since it'd actually been out of storage. Not seen it advertised in any of our museums over here, but I'd like to certainly get close up to it. It was just a treat just to see those rotary faders on that mixing desk. And they had it right beside the stage mixing the sound, didn't they?
I have no idea. I was a punter out in the field.
Yeah, it was right beside the stage. I mean, how on earth did they get a level for the sound there? Incredible.
It's different now. I mean, we're playing a three-man acoustic show through 10 times that amount of power.
Yeah.
It's really weird, you know, indoors playing smaller venues. I mean, how many are we going to play to in Shanklin? Is it about 400 or 500, that theatre?
Yeah, it's not a massive theatre, but...
Well, that's good enough for the trio. That's good. We like it smaller and intimate, you know. I won't play to standing audiences with the trio.
No.
It's quite intimate, and we don't want, you know, we don't want the bar open and all that. Yeah, we need a bit of... stop talking!
Yeah, man. the acoustics are very good down there, so you'll enjoy that.
Nice one.
Should be good.
Great.
Now, in those early days when you was out on tour, there was loads and loads of pressures, wasn't there, when you were touring and... sort of setting up, and did you still have roadies and that, or did you kit up yourself most of the time on stage?
My first ever roadie in 1972 with Cockney Rebel, before we got a record deal, was Robin LeMessurier, who is John LeMessurier and Hattie Jakes' son.
Oh, right.
Who spent much of his career playing for Rod Stewart, and he's still my really close friend, Robin. Yeah.
Incredible. I was reading somewhere that Rod Stewart's made a nice couple of comments about yourself as a songwriter.
He's very kind. Yeah, he's just covered one of my songs, A Friend for Life.
Wow.
He's on his last album, Another Country.
Yeah, that's a nice tribute, isn't it? When you get somebody as big as that, do something like that for you.
Not that, it's just that he's such a great singer, it meant the world. To hear a voice like Rod's interpret your lyrics, it's a good feeling.
Yeah, and he's also doing a one-off concert with Jeff Beck, isn't he, soon?
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, can you imagine them two together again?
Yeah, I can imagine it. It won't be easy, I mean, they've both got their own way of working. I don't know how that's going to go down after all those years, but good luck to them, yeah.
Yeah, me too. I think they struggled in the early days. They had different ideas of what they wanted to do. Jeff Beck was very... But anyway, it seemed to work, didn't it? These days, I mean, when you finish a gig and get out of the venue where you've been playing, do you do any after-show parties anymore, or are you just quite happy to go home with your Horlicks and some cream crackers?
Oh, no. Yeah, no, I go, retire to the hotel and... most of us just go alone to our rooms. You know, it's usually quite late.
Yeah.
And I unwind in my own company. I like to be alone. I mean, I unwind quietly with a half a bottle of wine and watching some horse racing that I might have had a bet on during the day. Just got to unwind after a big show, you know. It gets pretty intense up there, and it's nice to unwind slowly. If we're in the right place, we'll retire to the bar.
Yeah,
and unwind together a little bit. It's each to their own, you know. We've all got our own way of doing things.
Nothing like years ago when you used to go absolutely crazy though after a gig.
No, we did, and I don't know how I could do it, but we were very young. You know, when you're a young man and you think you can rule the world, you're going to live forever, you can rave on. But now I am very conscious that I've got to do it again tomorrow.
Yeah.
And I want to give my best. You want to play a concert every night as if it's the last one on earth, you know?
Yeah.
So you've got to have your voice. I mean, the singer has to have a voice. You can't stay up late. No, old and boring now.
I know. I can't do it anymore, Steve, either, can you?
But it's because the gig comes first. The show comes first.
Yeah.
You know?
With Sebastian, massive production on that. You had an orchestra and all sorts, didn't you, on the background when you recorded that?
Oh, yeah. It's a big symphony orchestra and a 20-piece choir. It was quite something mad for 1972 and 3, and I was only 22 years old.
Wow.
First album. The EMI pretty well threw a blank checkbook at my producer.
Wow.
Young Neil Harrison, and we went to town with it. It's huge, yeah.
It was so diverse from what you'd been doing ahead of that, wasn't it? It was a slightly underground psychedelic type thing.
Is that how you see it?
I don't know.
I don't know, everyone's got their own view about Sebastian, and I tend to sit back and listen to what they've got to say. I don't really want to discuss it. I don't have much to say about it myself. Every night I sing it, I wonder what it might be about. Then some nights it clicks and I sing a line and think, oh yeah, no, that's what I meant. That's what I was getting at. So that's quite a good, after all those years, you're still developing, you know.
We're talking to Steve Harley. Now, so many things I'd still like to ask you. I didn't realise you've actually had, is it 13 albums over the years?
I don't know, 12 or 13 original albums, I should think, yeah.
And also something that must be really nice for you, to receive that Lifetime Music Award in 2018.
That was very nice.
Yeah.
You never get complacent about that sort of thing. If you, you know, that was a very, very pleasant recognition, yeah.
Do you ever get fed up now with writing and producing music?
Yeah, I would never be fed up. It's a wonderful life. No, it's hard work to write new songs as you get older.
Yeah.
And you're not really hungry anymore. It's difficult. I mean, I was to be honest, it can get very repetitive. I'm scared of rewriting Make Me Smile 15 times, you know. Ed Sheeran gets away with it. He writes the same song 10 times on an album, and he's written another one, the same song for Westlife at the moment.
Well, I often wonder as well, Steve, is in years to come, will they still be talked about, like yourself and Stones and Beatles?
I'm not going to start criticising.
No,
I was observing that, what's his name, Ed Sheeran seems to get away with being very, very repetitive. And I'm not criticising, and whether they'll be remembered, I've no idea. You have to be able to perform live. Hey, I'm really looking forward to coming to the island, though, and playing down there. You know, as I said, it's going to be the end, number 33 out of 33 on the tour.
Incredible.
So I'm coming to relax after the Shanklin Theatre.
Well, we're looking forward to seeing you on the 27th down here at the Shanklin Theatre. And hopefully the last few bits and pieces of the tour that's left for you are going to go just as well as they've been going so far.
It's been lovely. It's been really, really good. People have just, it's developed over the long... I mean, tonight's, we're playing four nights in London, and we played two nights here at the beginning of the tour, the same venue. But I don't think it's anything like the same running order or set list. We've had about 10 or 12 songs in and not in anymore. They come and go. I might change it again for this run. I'll never really quite know. Even up on stage, the set list doesn't follow the set list. I go off at a tangent. You know.
Well, it probably, you know, keeps it fresh for yourself, and it makes it more interesting, doesn't it?
Yeah, and for the musicians, they love it. We do a lot of it's improvising.
Good luck to you.
Soundcheck.
What about A Friend for Life? Is there a story behind that? Is it anything personal involved in that? Or
sort of. I mean, I wrote it on a flight from Los Angeles to Heathrow in one hit and never changed a word. So it came pretty as a piece of inspired feeling of the muse was on my shoulder on that flight. And it's, as we grow older, it's a man saying to his partner, his wife, his partner, you know, grow old along with me, the best is yet to be, in my own terms. Yeah.
A nice memory for you as well.
Yeah.
So a nice message in that piece of music.
Yeah.
Okay, well, thanks so much for talking to us this afternoon.
Oh, real pleasure.
And I hope, as I say, the rest of the tour goes well. I look forward to meeting you down at Shanklin on the 27th.
Come and say hello, I'd like that.
I sure will.
Cheers, matey.
Thank you. Bye,
Steve.
See ya.
Bye.